Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Conor McGregor, you gotta come back and fight somebody. I'll see you at the top.
Surprise, surprise, mother! The king is back.
Man, we are—we're gonna have to edit that intro, I think, because Conor McGregor's triumphant voice at the end is not fitting the tone of what we have seen, what we have watched through now 6 episodes of The Ultimate Fighter season 31. Thanks everyone for joining us on the 6th episode of Tough Hang. I am one of your co-hosts as always, Alexander K. Lee. Your usual co-host, Connor Burks, GC, a little under the weather, unfortunately will not be joining us this evening. But producer extraordinaire E. Casey Lydon is with us as always.
Hi.
And happy to also provide some co-hosting duties, which you really do anyway. Episode 6, Break Your Nose. That was an episode title, fairly somewhat appropriate. It came up a couple of times, I think, in this episode. I want to talk about some alternate titles later.
I'm enjoying finding the titular line in the episode. It's exciting. It's exciting.
It is, yeah. Well, there was a couple where we were left wanting, and it was just disturbing to like why. Yeah. And then we were left pondering, why did they do this?
Although,
but as people can see, I'm in the GC cave here. Mm-hmm. GC is just off camera. He's puking his guts out.
Because he celebrated freedom way more than I did.
Yeah. You know, I'm in Canada. So we just did one day. We had Canada Day, July 1st, and we just celebrated politely and with, you know, responsible drinking. But in the US, I know you guys go first, second, third, fourth, probably 31st, probably starting the 31st,
yeah,
right? Whatever.
Yeah, it's freedom year. Yeah.
It's really freedom year. Yeah. The celebration starts all over again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So congratulations, America, on another year. Well done. You did it again.
We did it.
And GC and she'll be fine.
We did it.
But if you hear really loud retching in the background, that is just GC on the couch over there, just being completely sick. So it'll just be the two of us today. And it's a shame GC's missing out, Casey, because this was quite an episode. I think the first time I've really been surprised in a while because, we will get to the shove. That's what they should have called this episode.
Yeah, the shove.
So we'll get to the push heard around the world, the most hyped moment well before the, when they were previewing the show. But let's talk about Kurt Hollibaugh pulling off an incredible upset and comeback against Lee Hammond, the top lightweight prospect on the show, probably. Conor McGregor's teammate, protege, dare I say. He was looking good, Casey. Lee Hammond was looking good through a round. Out grappling, an older, more veteran guy who's known to have good grappling skills. But second round comes along and he just leaves an opening. Kurt Hollibaugh, a lot more experience, locks in a guillotine choke. And it didn't take too long for Lee Hammond to tap out. So, Casey, let me get your thoughts on the fight. Michael Chandler's team now 6-0. And it's not looking great for Team McGregor with two fights remaining in the quarterfinals, I have to say.
I will say this was for me the best episode of the season. Because the shock factor. Up until that point, it was a very run the mill episode. No, blah blah blah. But coming into this, once they did all the fight announcements, I was like, oh, I thought Chandler's team would go undefeated, but this was the fight. I was like, oh, this one's gonna be the tough one. I really thought Hammond was gonna win this fight. And it seemed everything was set because. They didn't explain how the matchups got made, right? They were just kind of made, right?
In the first episode. They evaluated, they were asked to evaluate the fighters on the first episode. So rank them from 1 to 4. And then after the teams were made, they it was kind of kept secret. And then after the teams were made, they revealed who was one, who was two, who was three, who was four. And then one would face the four guy on the other team. Two would face the three guy on the other team. So it kind of was explained, but not in a
But they didn't explain why we think Lee Hammond is our best lightweight and why we think Kurt Hollibaugh is our fourth best lightweight. They didn't go into depth.
And Connor said after it actually that they thought him and John Kavanaugh actually thought Kurt Hollibaugh was arguably the number one lightweight of Michael Chandler's, but he was quote unquote fourth ranked going to this the lowest ranked. Well, but I don't think there's a lot of separation between Roosevelt Roberts and Kurt Hollibaugh when they were doing their evaluating, frankly. But again, I wasn't in there. Like you said, they didn't break it down, so we don't really know.
Yeah, well, fair enough. It felt like this was the episode, this was the matchup that, at least for Connor and SBG, that's really all they really cared about, is Lee Hammond getting probably the most favorable matchup in the seedings or whatever you want to call it. And this whole season, for at least for Connor's side, seemed to be set up for Lee Hammond to win this fight at least. And I was shocked. I was so shocked. I think the first round kind of went as I expected to go. When was the submission? About halfway through the second?
Halfway through. Dana White said something about they never give a time on the show for some reason, time of the stoppage, but Dana White said afterwards he was like less than 2 minutes away from maybe winning.
It felt about halfway. To the point was, I wasn't even looking at the screen when it happened, to be honest. I was actually looking down because I thought, okay, he's going to run this out. Lee Hammond is not good enough to, I think, finish Kurt Hollibaugh. Kurt Hollibaugh is a tough vet, but I figure it was going to be a pretty easy, not easy, but pretty easy to judge 2018 type of score. And I just looked up and I saw that he was caught in that guillotine. I was like, whoa. And then, boom, he tapped. And that reaction from Connor, that kind of bending over, folding over, and kind of on the ground, I think that was one of the most genuine emotions, reactions that we've seen on this show this season. I think he was truly shocked that Lee Hammond lost that fight, as I was. And I think I wrote three times in my notes. I was like, what? What? No way. No way. Because for the first time in the whole season, I feel we actually got a true prospect versus vet fight. This is a true prospect versus vet. Kurt Hollibaugh is a guy, I don't think he was ever going to make it back to the UFC on his own just by winning on the regional scene. And Lee Hammond clearly was a guy that's been training since he's been going to SPG since he's been like 12 or 14. Like, this was set up for him to at least make the finals of the show, honestly. And shocking. I was shocked. And it's prospect versus vet, and he truly won by just experience. I don't think Kurt Hollibaugh was the better fighter. But he was the better fighter for that 30 seconds or that 10 seconds to find that little mistake. And they did a great job in the replay too, with showing Hammond. He just kind of stuck his head out from underneath and just left it there just for 1 second too long. And that's all it took. And that's MMA. The first person to make a mistake loses the fight. And good episode.
Yeah, Lee Hammond, I think the second youngest guy on the show. Kurt Hollibaugh, the oldest fighter on the show at 36 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A decade of age between them. Hammond undefeated as a pro so far. Extensive amateur career. Again, the McGregor Association. With all the hype, too. Remember, we had all the controversy before the show with McGregor supposedly getting his guys on the show and bumping off some other fighters. And you got to think, well, these guys got to be worth it. You know, and Lee Hammond's one of them. Lee Hammond's, you know, he fought for Bellator. He did well there. I think he just had the one fight, but it looked good in it. But listen, Casey.
They even had the shot of Dana going before the fight starts. You're looking at Hammond going, whoa, look at that guy's frame. This guy is like big.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was all set up for Hammond. And they got me. I was shocked. I was truly was.
Casey, look. You know all about this. Not to date you, but you know all about this. You were a bit older than your opponent in your undefeated career. And you got that grown man strength. And you got that grown man strength because, you know what? Because you got grown man problems. as Michael Chandler put it. I really like that scene.
I really enjoyed that scene. That was good.
There's a bunch of alternate titles I feel like we had. Break Your Nose was okay. I mean, at least they said it in the episode. Grown Man Problems. I don't know if that would have given away the results. But yeah, Chandler's hypo speech is, he's stepping in a cage with a real man, with real bills to pay, with gyms that he owns. A grown man with grown man problems, grown man ups and downs. And I thought, oh, well, this is kind of setting you up. Like, I thought it was like setting you up to lose. Like, okay, they're just saying like Kurt Hallebaugh, they're just giving him his respect. They're saying he's tough. His video, which again, we have to get to, which is very important. We got to talk about the pet first. But his video, he looked like he's living a pretty happy, comfortable life. He's got his 20 acres or whatever. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got 40 farm animals. Five kids, I think. Raiden, Jaden.
Layden, Hayden.
The girls' names, but the boys all rhyming, which even he admitted was like was confusing. So I was like, why would you do
that? He was like, that was a bad idea. He's like, but we're stuck with
it. And most important to our discussion of the ongoing pet curse, seven dogs. Proudly stated. The editing team made sure to include that line. Made sure to include, oh, by the way, he has seven dogs.
They're watching it. They're watching this and they're recutting this to make us look dumb. But
when we saw you messaged me before the episode was over. And I was like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Kurt Hallebaugh's toast. They showed two of them, two huge, adorable dogs. He also has cats and donkeys, so there's all kinds of pets. But our point is, leading into this, fighters who had their pets shown, 0-4 fighters who had mentioned, specifically dogs, had mentioned they had dogs. Last episode, we did not see a dog on either side, so we kind of just put that, removed that from the data. But now dogs are back in full 4-7. So I say the curse is broken. Casey, you and I had a little discussion. You say no. You say that our data is still kind of solid and there's a way to interpret
Yeah,
this.
Well, clearly it's six and under. If you have six dogs or less, there's no way you win. Seven dogs plus, you win. You dominate. So yeah. So for time reasons, we didn't really get into the details of how many dogs you needed in the early episodes. But but I guess it's time to you kind of reveal six dogs or less, no good. Seven dogs or more. You got it.
I'm sorry I didn't finish my graphic. I was preparing a graphic where, so just picture, you know, a standard graphic, and then it's going to be backwards now because I'm pointing at the camera. A standard graphic, and then a probability of losing going up, you know, one dog, two dogs, it's going up, 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 and then it peaks at two, I think. And then if you add 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then the arc starts going down. You got pretty standard graph, guys. I'm sure you can picture what I'm talking about.
It's math, statistics.
It's just math. So once you get seven, I mean, you're actually, at that point, your probability of winning is like super high. So,
yeah. So again, Lee Hammond, he was toast from the beginning.
Yeah. He didn't realize it.
He was done.
Seven dogs. So Kurt Hallebaugh, seven dogs, maybe the biggest underdog on the show. Again, depending who you ask, apparently McGregor and his team thought very highly of him. They didn't really see this as an upset.
My notes are so funny. I wrote dog, Kurt's so gonna lose.
and you're not wrong. Like everything was set up for Hammond to win. We could talk about more in the fight, more about the fight in a bit. We should get to the shove. Which was weirdly preceded by, I'm glad McGregor's supportive. He was very supportive of course, his boy. He was kind of saying it was a flawless performance, which I thought was a bit much. He's like,
I thought he was almost too supportive in the sense that he still lost. And he was talking to him like he just got robbed of a bad decision or something. I don't know. I know what you're saying. Yeah, it wasn't clearly wasn't a flawless performance.
Yeah, be supportive, of course, but don't be delusional. Then again, if anyone has seen how McGregor handles a lot of his losses, perhaps this was accurate. I mean, he's been claiming he could, you know, I have the tools to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov for the last like 4 years. So make of this what you will. But let's get to it. They get in the cage. Obviously, McGregor pretty heated. His team's down 0-6. His protege just lost. Chandler's in there talking some stuff. Really, just talking back to McGregor. And then they get into it, and then we get a face shove. You guys have seen this already. Again, the clip went all over the place. We wrote stories about it, you know, in the lead up to the show. Dana, the one thing that I think was added this time, I think that we didn't see was Dana. Do a bit of a trot around the cage to get in and break things up. One of the reasons we, I think you thought Casey, he was just going to ride it out is, you know, we do tend to look at how much time is left in the show. And we're like, if you're like me, I was like, oh boy, there's like maybe seven minutes left with the fight still going. So Lee's going to ride this out for another couple of minutes. And then we need time. We need like a full 5 minutes to do the shove thing. But by the time it got to the shove, there was actually only like 2 minutes or something left in the episode. So it was really strange. Casey, go ahead, break it down. What did you think of, again, what the moment that this whole season has really been built around?
I will say this, now that we have more context of why the shove happened, it was actually more intense. I thought I was expecting more of a kind of like, oh, they're doing it for the camera, trying to build up a fight. But honestly, with the loss of Hammond, the shocking loss that Hammond had, and kind of the emotions that were in that cage at the time, it actually did feel much more authentic. And I would say, I don't know if it's scary the right word, but I felt like there was real intensity in there. And it was actually, it was more real than I thought it was going to be, if that makes sense.
Wow, you really enjoyed this episode. What did you think of Chandler's reaction? Again, we should keep in mind, of course, it's edited. We don't know if there was more back and forth after the shove. But all we get is Chandler kind of going like, woo, like he's kind of jacked up, just like he's being professional. Obviously, he's not going to rush across the cage, just like tackle Connor. Connor takes off the suit. Did that satisfy? Did that make you kind of, you know, want to make sure that this fight happens? Because I think in the last couple of weeks, we've sort of resigned ourselves. Well, man, this fight is either not happening this year or never happening. Are you kind of like, man, are you back in now, Casey? You really need to see this.
I never needed to see them fight, honestly. The fight makes sense. Cool. I'm like, oh, they have to fight now because of this 10-second drama they had. But I do like moments when we see fighters like guys like Chandler. I'm assuming Chandler is the type of guy that, and this isn't a bad thing, but he's never gotten in a fight outside of the cage or outside of any sort of training room. I just don't see him that type of guy. And when Connor pushed him, I think he said, it's like, hey, if you want to do this, we'll do it now. You know, I always kind of like those moments when prize fighters become like, you know what? F it. Let's fight. And I felt like that moment, Chandler was that guy. Like, oh, we're going to fight now. Let's do this. I don't care about contracts, you know? And I don't know if Connor would have was truly like wanted to fight right then. But I did feel Chandler was like, yeah, we'll do this right now. Take the cameras away. Let's do this right now. I don't know. I'll do this in an empty parking lot right now, you and me. And I do feel there was that type of intensity there with Chandler. He wasn't going to be like, oh, I'm going to double leg you right now and fight you in the cage. Like, no, okay, we're going to fight. All right, let's do this. We'll get our mouthpiece. Let's do this. And I liked it. This doesn't build up any more excitement for me toward the fight. That's never going to happen. But in that moment, it was real. It was authentic. And it's rare for me. It's rare to witness actually real emotions, real reality on a reality show.
I like that aspect of it as well. I do think you're right. It felt, for the first time this season, something felt real. Something besides the fighter stories. The fighter stories are lovely. And certainly impactful.
Between them and like the beef.
But the stuff actually in the house. Yeah, yes. The beef and anything really happening in the house. Nothing has felt that important. Like even the Brad Katona drama, nothing. Either there was nothing or they just didn't show us more. But it looked like that got diffused pretty quickly or was never as big as an issue as they were sort of trying to present it. I'm trying to think. There was some like a little, we saw like the last time there was any crap talk between cast members, it was like episode 2, like one of the, I think it was Mando or Landon was like trash talking one of the vets, and there's nothing has come of that. That was like, again, a month ago now in episode terms. So we really haven't gotten much real genuine drama. And this just did feel
drama
like,
in this episode I felt was, and I thought, I don't know, tell me, I don't have a real good opinion on this, but they actually did bring up the fact that Connor isn't there for the weigh-ins.
Yes, finally. Because I assumed he would be at the Lee Hammond weigh-in.
Yeah. You would think so.
He was not there.
Not there at all. And then, Chandler says this thing, you know, I'm here to show support, you know, blah, blah. And then Connor tries to, they let Connor defend himself, but I didn't really understand his defense. Did you, I kind of went, what? I just wrote, what?
He was trying to say, like, I'm there in the training room. Like, I'm there before the weigh-ins, before the fights. I'm there in the training room. I'm there helping them cut weight. Like, I'm there, which we don't see that either, but we assume it's, he might be there. So he's trying to say, like, I was there doing the, just because you don't see me at the weigh-in and you don't see me in the corner doesn't mean I'm not there. Like, I'm helping with all the work that goes into the fight. And I'm like, well, so is Chandler. Chandler's doing all that stuff too. And he's showing up the weigh-in. And he's showing, and he's actually cornering a spider. I couldn't believe he didn't corner him either. I couldn't believe he didn't show up the weigh-ins, and I couldn't believe he did. Is he too good to put on a jersey? Like, is it he just has to? No, because he wears the.
I thought that for a moment too. But when they do the training footage, he is wearing the tough uniform. So it's not like he wants to show up in his own stuff. And he goes, "Well, I'm only wearing Conor fast or whatever, and whatever McGregor fast stuff." He wears a tough uniform and while they're doing the training. So, yeah. You know what?
Can he wear the jersey over the suit? He should wear the suit. That would look so good.
That's a good look.
I think so.
Yeah.
And to be in the corner with the suit? How could he not corner his boy? That was shocking.
It was this is good though. This is good because to me, Conor, maybe this is Conor knowing his limitations as a coach. He goes, you know what? I'm too emotional. If I was like the true corner guy, maybe that's why. I don't know.
He's shouting over them now.
You hear him more than anyone else too. I know.
How's that helping?
I mean, imagine if he was actually in the corner. Has he ever actually cornered a fighter where in between rounds, he's the guy going, or one of the coaches in the corner go, okay, you need to do this. You got to keep your hands up. You need to put pressure on the guy. Like, he's never that guy, has he? Or is he always just, is he Conor McGregor and just roams?
I want to say he did during his first stint on The Ultimate Fighter. I could be wrong. People in the comments, feel free to correct me. I want to say he did an actual, like, he was just a traditional coach. But that show was kind of while he hadn't quite become superstar god level fame Conor. He was definitely a superstar by that point, but just hadn't reached that.
He was MMA superstar, but not like. I got you.
He was on the cusp of becoming this household name where even like my mother knows who Conor McGregor is. He wasn't quite there yet. So I guess there was still the element of, oh, I'm willing to do this stuff and on the show and I don't care. But he's so protective of his image now. Yeah, I don't know if he wants to be seen in the trenches, in the corner. Again, he's not, you know, because training looks cool, right? If you're in your jersey, you're training, you're sparring, you look cool, right? He likes that. He shows stuff on Instagram, but like, you know, having to just sit in the corner with a water bottle in hand and a towel in your, maybe he just doesn't like the optics of it. It's hard to say. I don't know if this ring he wouldn't be allowed to corner, I'm trying to think, but I can't imagine why. So just not a great look, not a great look for McGregor. And I'm going to follow up on this, but I want to ask you first, Casey, who won the shove? Who won the shove exchange scene?
I would say Conor won the shove.
Oh.
I'm saying this. Tell me what you think. When I first saw the shove, I was like, ooh, Conor's losing his composure. He's just losing control right now. He's letting his emotions take over. But then I thought of it more in terms of, you know, like in a basketball game or a baseball game, when your team's down and your team needs some sort of emotional boost. This is what Conor does. You know, so the manager will come out in a basketball game and just start yelling at the ref, go like blah blah blah, and basically deliberately get kicked out of the game. Or a baseball manager would, kicking the, you know, like putting the dirt.
You're right in the referee's face, just asking to be thrown out. Yeah, you're just asking, toss me.
Yeah. Sure. It felt like that because I think he realized, hey, the guy that was supposed to win just lost. We have a very good chance of going completely winless. we have an opportunity. We have a good chance of going winless now, and I think that was Conor losing his composure a bit, but also going, okay, this is going to hype my team up. And that was the first time all season where we got to see teammates or the other team, Chandler's team, start smack talking Conor. You're like, oh, come on, let's go. You know, and that was good because that was the first time, like, okay, these guys are fighters. They're, you know, like, you rev them up and like, they're like, all right, let's go. Like, they'll brawl right now. And that was, like you said, like that moment actually felt real for a small moment for a reality show. And I really enjoyed it. And so that's why I say Connor won, because I do think that Will boost his own team's energy. Because, like, maybe, you know, Connor doesn't show up for the weigh-ins. I think it shows, you know, I'm not sure how much he's there for training. I think that's showing. But Connor kind of going and putting himself out there for at least for a moment, maybe his team goes, all right, you know, that might give him enough motivation to make this season a bit more competitive.
See, Casey, I was kind of with you. I was with you until you mentioned that key point, because I like the idea that he's trying to light a fire under his two remaining guys, who's Landon Quinones at lightweight and Rico DeShulo at bantamweight.
I don't believe he really exists. I don't know if that guy really exists.
I see him in the promos at the beginning. He won, or he didn't win, but he was commenting on the rowing competition last time.
Oh, is that? I think that's the only time he's been in the show. I have no idea.
We saw, by the way, Nate Jennerman's alive, apparently. Lee's roommate. We actually saw Nate talk. Nate Jennerman's back. Landon Quinones at lightweight, Rico DeShulo at bantamweight. By the way, these are Conor McGregor's fourth ranked guys, and both of them are facing Chandler's first ranked. His first ranked lightweight and his first ranked bantamweight. We'll get to that in a second. I was with you, Casey, until you mentioned the team Chandler guys smack talking McGregor, because that's a bad place to be if you're McGregor. You can't really it's a thing you can't win, because if you talk back to them, you're talking back to guys who are, again, supposedly beneath you status wise in the MMA world. They're not in the UFC, or sorry, they were in the UFC. They're no longer in the UFC. They're UFC veterans. Some might say, you know, guys who couldn't quite cut it the first time around. And so McGregor, you can't respond. At the same time, there's footage now of like Cody Gibson and Roosevelt Roberts and these guys like talking smack at you, and justifiably so, because your team is 0-6 on national television. There's really no response. Walking away was really probably the best thing. Again, that's just what we saw in the final edit. I do wonder if McGregor fired back. I doubt it, though. I think he's kind of like, I just got to get out of here. I'm 0-6. I got to go. I've made my point. I got my shove in. I've talked my trash. Let's leave and let's, you know, let me go hang out with Lee. Let me go break this down for Lee and make him feel better. And because, I think it was slight edge to Chandler, just because his team, now his whole team is talking crap to Conor McGregor. And Chandler going over to McGregor's fighters. I'm sorry, he's your coach.
That was good.
That is right. Mean.
Thank you for bringing that up. That was good.
That's so mean. That's such a two-handed shoving. That is a metaphorical two-handed shove in the chest, slap in the face.
That's why I do like about the show, because that's how Chandler kind of does his shit talk, his trash talk, by doing that kind of like, I'm gonna be so nice, I'm actually insulting you, kind of like,
we all know people like that. They're the worst. Yeah. They're the worst. It's like, it's okay, but like, you did good, buddy. And then and they go to your friends, like, I'm sorry you got to deal with this guy. Like, and it's like you just come say it to my face. Just insult me. Come insult me. Don't go around me. That is the Chandler way. And
that reminds me, if you're rolling in jiu-jitsu, you're like rolling with a high level guy, and they submit you like four times in one round. Then as the round ends, they go, good job, buddy. You did great. I'm like,
yeah, flawless performance. Flawless performance, Casey. I think we'll just touch end on a few news, little notes here. I think they made a huge mistake this year, Casey, not doing a proper draft. I know the veterans versus UFC veterans versus non-UFC prospects angle appealed to them. They must have decided on that early and decided to stick with it. It doesn't even make a lot of sense given the coaches. It's not like either of the coaches is like particularly new to the UFC. Like, I guess Chandler, you could say, but he's been named in MMA for so long. Like, it's not even like this is the prospect coach versus the veteran coach. Like, you don't have that aspect of it. Like, it would work with like an O'Malley or something. And I know we always think of O'Malley as younger than he actually is, but he still feels like fresh. And like, it feels like he could lead a team of Browdy prospects.
The coach is actually a prospect too. Is that what you're saying?
O'Malley versus who's a super veteran bantamweight that he could coach against fight. I don't know. Him and Aljo might have worked. I don't know. But the point is, like, the gimmick isn't even that interesting. and we've made fun of it many times. Like we all know they mean UFC vet and non-UFC prospect. It just looks ridiculous when you put it on screen. And also the whole point of, like, if you're going to have one benefit of having McGregor's guys on is when you have that draft, you have that fun aspect of like, oh, is McGregor going to take like his guy who we know isn't that great? Like, is he going to use a top three pick instead of taking, I don't know, like Roosevelt Roberts or taking, you know, one of these guys he's not associated with? Because I think he would have. He would have picked Lee Hammond first. He would have picked Brad Catona with one of his first picks. He would have taken Aaron McKenzie with one of his first picks. And that's like what's so fun about The Ultimate Fighter. And when they, GC said, that, you know, one of the most disappointing things about how they just like, oh, you four with him, you four with him. And that means you four with him, you four with him. And it was over so quickly. No drama, no arguing. Connor didn't get to coach one of his guys, didn't get to coach Brad Catona.
No even like explanation of the reason. It was just here. That was it. Okay.
Yeah. This is how we've designated them. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I don't mind gimmicks. I always say they should do different things for the show.
From episode one, from the first 10 minutes of episode one, they kind of screwed the whole season in a sense for as far as drama.
Yeah. The cast has to know. You said it from the first episode. You said, man, these veterans look really good. Like, this is a really strong team of veterans. Like, they should not. It's very imbalanced, like the talent level, experience level.
Yeah.
And so far, you've been perfectly right. Like, again, with respect to the guys who have experience outside the UFC, these guys who fought in the UFC are Roosevelt Roberts is really good. Like, there's a bunch of guys in the veterans team. Like, why were they released in the first place? Yeah.
The funny part is, like, every single vet, I said, you know what? These guys could all legitimately fight on a fight night prelim, no issue.
Yes.
Except Kurt Holaba. And then he wins. I actually thought Kurt Holaba was the one guy. And no respect. Dude, if you see this, Kurt, man, you prove me wrong. That's awesome. I love being wrong. That's
he proved everyone wrong.
He proved everyone wrong. I thought he was brought in the show.
He was.
Because he has a record. He's a tough fighter. He looks the part, but he will lose. That's why he's on the show. And that's fine. It's a show, and this is how matchmaking works. But man, you proved me wrong, sir. Seven dogs. You broke the code. You did it.
Seven dogs. Again, another good title for this episode would have been Seven Dogs. Let me say, hanging out with the Holobos looks like a hell of a good time. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen any fighter on the show that I'd want to hang out with. They are he's like, every day it's just, you know, like, hanging out with the kids, hanging out with the animals, eating shrimp. And I'm like, in Louisiana, I'm like, this looks freaking
good. What did have his wife said? Like, get yourself a man that can fight and cook crawdads. Crawdads and can fight. You got yourself a man. I was like, that's a good line. I like that.
I can't do either. So I really have a lot of questions to ask about myself. But I would love to hang out with the Holobos. That looked like so much fun. I'll end on a positive note. I just do want to give I'm glad you enjoyed this episode so much, Casey. I do want to give a shout out to the production team of The Ultimate Fighter, because we criticize that it's kind of like boring, and that's not really, that's some of that's on the production team, but there's also like creative minds behind the control of the show. And I'm talking about the people who are just doing the nitty gritty, just have to put the show together, just make it a sleek, you know, compact, viewable product, a 45-minute product that's airable. And I think the show is really well done. I think the show is really well done. People can beef with the format all they want and say they want to see, you know, which was more original, make more changes. But for what it is, I got a lot of respect to the crew of The Ultimate Fighter, the guys behind the scenes put together. I think it's a sleek show. I think it's like we've been saying, it gets a bit tough to watch as the season goes on. But when you have a good episode, it goes down real easy. I thought this episode went by like it just was a breeze. It was a breeze to watch. Very enjoyable.
Every episode, though, and this isn't the production team's fault because this is the budget. Man, the music they put on for the fight montage, the really bad, like, it was like, I'm a warrior, poo, 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 like, let's fight. But you know, like that little generic rock track they put on? Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. But it makes total sense too. Like, why would I expect a good song or even a good sound-alike song? Yeah, there's such bad generic tracks they put on.
Casey, let's look ahead to next week. We have I can't believe this guy's even on the show. Why just re-sign this guy?
Yes.
Jason Knight, Hick Diaz, what's his actual nickname? Jason Knight is actually the...
He has a nickname? It's not his kid.
The kid. Well, call him Hick Diaz. He's pretty much Hick Diaz The kid. This guy should not have to be on the show. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to win the show, but only because there's other good people on the show who also shouldn't be on the show. So I'm not like saying Jason Knight's a lock, But boy, putting in him 23-7 record against Landon Quinones, 7-1-1. People, if you're out there and you know more about Landon than I do, and Landon is this blue chip prospect that's going to run through Jason Knight, let me know. But this is not looking good for Team McGregor.
Yeah.
I'll be more shocked at Landon beating Jason Knight than I was at Kurt Hollibaugh beating Lee Hammond, if it happens. Yeah. And we could see 7-0 next week. I don't know, Casey, what's your thoughts on the upcoming fight?
When I saw the lineup for the season come out, I was super excited Jason Knight was going to be on there because it's a reality TV show. But of course, I forgot what tough is, and we've seen nothing of anyone, no roommate drama.
What do you think is going on in the house? What do you think is going on in the house day to day? Do you think there's just nothing they can use? I think there's nothing they can use.
It's Jason Knight, man. I don't get it. Like, but you know, maybe because after so many years, like, why would any fighter get drunk even after they lose?
Yeah.
Or like, they train hard. You watch, I guess, they don't have TVs there. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, no TV. Not allowed to watch TV. No. Until they put on, here's a fight night. You guys can watch a fight night.
Yeah, that's it. They play cards. So I guess everyone's just sleeping and training. I think it is actually pretty boring. In there, unfortunately, I guess there's nothing for them to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Jason Knight is incredibly entertaining. You just watch his interviews. For people out there who don't know who Jason Knight is, I wouldn't even skip his UFC fights. Watch his fights in Bare Knuckle FC, his two fights with Artem Lobov. Just freaking wars. Wars. Oh, man. And they're amazing. So I would watch those fights if you kind of want to get an idea who he is as a fighter. He's actually more of a grappler, but in those fights, man, he throws and he is one tough dude. The only thing I'm worried about, he is a 45er who is fighting at 55. So we'll see how much that comes into play and how much that plays.
Yeah, he's facing Landon Quinones.
What do you know about
7-1-1. I'm literally looking this up right now. Fights out of Killcliffe FC, I believe. So there you go. Comes from a good camp. Good size, 5'10". Good reach, 72 inches.
Wait. So Killcliffe, what is Killcliffe? Is that the Florida one?
Killcliffe is the former Sanford MMA.
I thought Chandler is Killcliffe. Isn't Chandler?
He is. So I guess Chandler will be coaching against someone he's probably familiar with.
Okay, weird. Yeah.
It's a big camp.
Yeah, but I'm sure they share coaches. It's so weird they haven't pushed that narrative though.
They haven't pushed any narratives in the show, Casey.
Yeah, I know.
As good as this episode was, it was just about Lee and Kurt, which is fine. But from episode to episode, the other cast members do not exist.
Yeah.
They don't exist. You're not getting any pre-fight hype and set for the episode that it's actually on. So
I was high on this episode, but if Lee Hammond actually wins that fight and actually just grinds out Hollibaugh in the second round, is this a boring episode?
Yes.
Okay.
We're just breaking down the dog curse for 20 minutes.
Yeah, the dog curse, and McGregor gets his first win. There's no shove, you know.
we thought the shove was like a victory shove. We thought he has to be shoving about some big shove of joy, but no, it was a shove of maximum frustration. Maybe the most frustrating to be on the show so far. The other thing we see is a clip. It looks like Connor comes into sparring with a bit heated. Maybe he hurts someone with a body kick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have a feeling this is a tease resulting in nothing, but I don't know. Are you optimistic we're gonna get some Connor took out a cast member?
I'm gonna say no because it was a kick to the body and those things kind of happen. Yeah. If it was a shot to the head, then maybe Connor, but kick to the body, And he has shin guards on. It was just one of those things.
Well, guys, that was episode 6, Break Your Nose, which Connor said at the end to Chandler. Did he say at the beginning, too, to Lee Hammond? The uppercut, right?
You know, it is fun watching Connor coach slightly the striking. It is fun. I'm sure it doesn't really help because it's more about ideas.
It's so erratic. It's so erratic. I can't imagine picking up anything.
He's just okay, yeah. But it's neat. It's neat watching Connor's mind work in terms of striking, you know. I still don't think he's a very bad coach, but watching him just talk about striking is fun. I'd like to see more of that.
the other thing we see in next, well, we see the next week, I mentioned the sparring, and then there's a clip they show of him saying like, oh, I don't know what it is. I'm just so gassed up, just so full of adrenaline. I don't know how to come down. So people go ahead, get your jokes ready, get your memes ready. I'm sure GC's already got some tweets ready in the draft. He's a hilarious, GC, are you okay? Oh, he's not looking good. GC, I'm sure we'll be fine and be back next week.
I'm Connor Burks.
Oh God. I won't be here, guys, next week. I won't be here next week or the week after. I am traveling to the mystical land, and I'm going on a little vacation. I will like let you guys know if I can do the show, but my girlfriend might murder me if I try to do that. So I think for 2 weeks you may have to be EKC and the EKC and GC show. If you can lure a Jed Meshew or someone under here, that would be so good.
I signed on to this to be like the third guy. I was like, now I'm co-hosting every week now. Come on, guys.
Well, you love the show. You found you love the show. Has this renewed your love for the show? You're the lapsed fan, and now you're back.
Let's move on.
All right. Well, we're at the halfway point, guys. Six more episodes to go. Thank you, everyone.
Oh my God, we're only halfway.
Six more episodes to go. Thank you, everyone who has tuned in so far. And we can't wait to bring more Tough Hang to you guys in the future. And I will be back soon, but right now I'm signing off for myself and for, of course, EKC Leiden.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.